Welcome to the Higher Education Researcher. This is a podcast from the Centre for Higher Education Research and Evaluation at Lancaster University. I'm Professor Paul Trowler, and my guest today is Professor Lynn McAlpine. She's a visiting professor in our department, and she has a long and distinguished research and teaching career across multiple universities. Lynn's recent research has looked into various aspects of early career researchers, identities, and the PhD process generally. She'll draw on her extensive knowledge of these literatures in this edition of the Higher Education Researcher to talk about the issue of making the most of supervised PhD research. So Lynn, I'd like to ask you what the key messages are from the literature for those embarking on their supervised PhD research.
Thank you, Paul, for that introduction and also for the question. Of course, it's the kind of thing I could talk about for a long time, but I'm going to try to focus on three things today. And the kind of underlying message is that post-PhD trajectories are built from the very beginning of the PhD. And we know that students, PhD researchers, who are agentive in taking hold of their PhD trajectory are particularly satisfied and make progress. And in fact, that makes sense because no one else cares as much about your degree than you do. And so you need to think of yourself as managing your PhD and thinking about it not just as finishing, but as moving forward beyond that to whatever your career is. So with that kind of as an underlying principle, I'd like to talk about three things. The first is managing your relationship with your supervisor from the very beginning of the PhD. The second is using reading effectively in advancing your thinking and your writing. And the third thing is creating and sustaining a structure after you have completed successfully your transfer exam, your research proposal. So let me go back to the first one, managing your relationship with your supervisor. So your supervisor is a very busy person. That doesn't mean he or she isn't interested in your work, but there's also other people being supervised. There's research to do. There's teaching to do. So what you want to do is, one, arrange to see your supervisor regularly. And the research suggests that those who meet with their supervisor at least once a month for a meeting about supervision make progress and are more satisfied than those who don't. The second thing is, never leave the meeting without having established the next meeting time. And linked to that is don't postpone or put off a meeting unless it's really dire. We had evidence in our research that people would avoid their supervisors because they were having trouble with their research. But that's the time you really need to talk to your supervisor. The third thing is when you meet with your supervisor, take notes and then write them up and send them to your supervisor to be sure that you understood what was agreed after your discussion, because you don't want to waste your time doing things that you may have misunderstood. The fourth thing is a day or two before you meet with your supervisor, send an email saying, oh, these are the things I would like to discuss. That will help the supervisor because your supervisor doesn't know what you've been doing since the last time you met. And the last thing about managing your relationship with your supervisor is from time to time, ask your supervisor how you're doing in terms of your progress towards completing the PhD. Because a lot of the focus of supervisory meetings is the present work, but it's important for you to understand, are you on track? Are you moving faster than expected? Are you maybe struggling at the moment in terms of making progress? So that's what I have to say about that first point. The second point is using reading effectively in advancing your thinking and writing. One of the things we know about especially social science PhD researchers is that they always say, I've got so much reading to do. I just don't know what to read. So they amass piles of reading, but much of it doesn't get done. So here are four suggestions that have proven to be useful for other PhD researchers. Decide on a strategy for what you're going to read. Why read this rather than that? How is it going to help you in terms of what you're trying to achieve at this point? Read regularly. Don't put it off because you've got a lot of reading to do. If you read regularly, it'll make it seem less of a big task. And most importantly, what you have to do is write about your reading. And I suggest you use some dedicated software program, because over time, you're going to read hundreds of articles, and you'll need to be able to find them again and go back and check them. So by using a dedicated software program and writing about your reading every time you read something, you're integrating reading into your thinking and your writing. And it's really important when you make up your notes about a reading that you also put in something about how you assess this paper or this study. Is it useful? Does it seem a good representation? Is there something missing? You want to include, it's not just a description of what you've read, but it's your assessment of what you've read. And the fourth thing is, don't overlook the reference lists in the papers you read. It's really important to go back to primary sources, because secondary ones may misrepresent what people actually said. My third point is to create a structure and keep that structure moving forward after you've completed your transfer. Now, of course, if you followed my advice, you're already managing a relationship with your supervisor, so you're going to continue to meet on a regular basis with your supervisor. And you're already thinking about how your reading leads to your writing about each of the things you read and what your assessment of that is in relation to your study. So that's the first point. The second is, create a timeline from now until you finish the degree, but don't just put in activities. You might have a paper, you might be presenting at a conference, but also put goals. Okay, when am I going to finish my lit review? When am I going to do this? When am I going to do that? And then once you've created that timeline, what you'll have is these big tasks or big goals. Like if you have down as a goal, complete the literature review, that's a very ill-defined problem. It's very hard to get a grip on it. How will you know you're making any progress? So a really important element of this goal setting is then breaking down your goals. So if you want to complete your lit review by, I don't know, in 4 or 5 months, then say, okay, what do I have to have done by the end of the first month? What by the end of the second month? So begin to make that ill-defined big problem into a number of doable chunks that you'll be able to see that you've achieved, because that will reinforce your sense of progress and give you satisfaction. Then, this is again being strategic, thinking about your big goals, make a weekly schedule related to those goals. And what you're going to do is also remember to review and assess it at the end of each week. And what you need to do within your weekly schedule, you'll put in whatever you have to do. You won't be having coursework, you might be working part-time, you might have childcare, but be sure to put reading, schedule times with yourself, appointments with yourself for reading, and for writing. And that's really important to put in both of those times for reading and for writing. And the reason I say that is because, especially, we've already talked about the problem of reading, but writing, many people think they need a long period of time in order to be able to read. And I talk about this as the snacking versus the feasting notions of writing. So really successful writers snack. What they do is, oh, I have 45 minutes. I'll do some writing. And what you want to do is create a regular schedule of reading and writing because you feel you're making progress. And remember that writing isn't just for others. It's writing for yourself. Like writing up your notes about your reading is writing. Keeping your research diary is writing. And if you can create that sustainable schedule, you'll get a sense of progress. And my last point is to go back to your timeline on a regular basis. Look at your big goals, look at your progress, look at what you're doing each week. This will help you to see that you actually are moving forward, because that's the biggest challenge after you've completed transfer, is this long period of time when you're totally responsible for completing your dissertation. And so if you can chunk it, break it down from a huge ill-defined problem into a lot of little smaller problems which become goals, you'll be able to sustain your sense of progress and satisfaction. I think those are the major things I wanted to talk about.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much. Actually, you've made me rethink a couple of things that I do or don't do. Monthly meetings, for example, is something I don't do. Regular meetings, I tend to ask my supervisees to come to me when they're ready. So I'll be changing that. Another thing I'll be changing is I take the notes about the meeting on our educational research supervision meetings Moodle page, but it sounds as if it's better if the supervisees do those notes after the meeting. So that's another thing I'll be changing. I use, for the dedicated software program, I think that's excellent advice, and I use Zotero for the storing references, and that has a note system on it. But of course, there are many, aren't there?
Yeah, like I use EndNote. So if you're like me, at this point, you probably have thousands of things in there.
Yes.
But you don't get thousands overnight. It's this slow accumulation. And I think one of the things that is so hard is to realize that keeping those, tracking everything you're reading, is such a powerful resource as time goes by. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes. And I love the idea of snacking. I mean, that's what I do for sure. Both actually snacking, but snacking in your sense.
Maybe sport. Snacking and snacking, eating while you write.
That's right. Yeah. Also, it gives you time to think, or the subconscious to work on things and so on. So for me, it works really well.
Well, yeah. And one of the things I suggest to people who are new to the idea of snacking is, before you close your document, write down what you're going to do next. Because that will resituate you. You're not having to go, oh, what was I doing?
Absolutely. So you come to it and you've got a little note. Okay, I'm off. I'm good to go. That's lovely. Yeah, great suggestion. So being strategic, being systematic, breaking things down into small chunks, specifying goals into something achievable, that's all great.
And reviewing them and seeing the progress.
Absolutely. Yes, rewarding yourself by seeing how far you've got. That's brilliant. Fabulous. Thank you so much, Lynn. That's really valuable to me, and I'm sure to our listeners. Thank you once again.
My pleasure.